The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Good morning, Anthony Reich. How are you?
Okay, Tov Shavuot Tov. It feels like you're in very Russian mood today.
No, there's nothing Russian about
me. Nice upbeat.
It was nice, right?
Russian tune for sure.
That's actually Benny Friedman, and he always does very upbeat, very positive music. Yeah. How was your holiday, Anthony?
I had a good break, thank you very much. They say a break is as good as a holiday.
Yes.
A change is as good as a holiday, and it certainly was a change. So it was good, nice weather. Managed even to get out to the beach, of course. We're into lockdown now. We'll talk about that in a short while.
Yeah.
But some positive news from last week is the whole development with Morocco. I didn't have much chance to talk about this, but Prime Minister Netanyahu did speak on the phone on Friday to the King of Morocco. I understand that's the first conversation that they've had since the normalization of relations between the two countries. Apparently, Prime Minister Netanyahu has invited King Mohammed VI of Morocco to visit Israel as soon as possible. And there will actually be a delegation coming from Morocco this week, which follows the first flight officially between Israel and Morocco took place last week with an Israeli delegation that went over there. So relations with Morocco are certainly warming up. And as I've said before, we have something like 1 million Israelis who have Moroccan heritage and who I think would very much create some sort of an economic flow between the two countries, at least people returning back to visit their roots, to visit the land from which their grandparents and great-grandparents came from, and to try to renew some of the cultural links that still exist. You really feel within the community of those people who came from Morocco, you feel the strong Moroccan influence, if it's the food that they eat, if it's the traditions that they follow, even their style of Judaism is a little different, their culture is a little different. You really feel that they still have quite a strong link to the land which their forefathers came from. And I have no doubt that this will be a good basis to create friendly relations between Israel and Morocco.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. And when one thinks about like the tribes of Israel, you know, we're not all the same.
We are certainly not all the same.
We're all part of one big nation. And I think it's beautiful. It's a beautiful idea.
Since when would one family enjoy the chicken soup made by another family? We are definitely not all the same. I mean, we show it in every possible way. The differences are very much marked. And in a way, you know, when we see the kibbutz galuyot, the ingathering of the exiles in modern-day Israel, and all the traditions that people bring, whether it be the food that they eat or the customs that they follow or the superstitions that they might have, and you try to understand, you know, the different ways in which people do things. Some of these customs have become, you know, very much adopted as a general practice. You know, Mimuna, for example, is a very Moroccan festival that takes place as soon as Pesach ends. There's no Ashkenazi family that would have known about Mimuna before we all came together in Israel, and we now share in that, including the food that comes with Mimuna. You know, this is not something that comes from our heritage, but we are happy to adopt it from other people's heritage. And so we see the mixing of traditions and styles and people. It doesn't always work so well. Oil and water doesn't always mix that well. But certainly there are a lot of good things that have come out of it.
Yeah. Look, I mean, you gave an example, but I've got a personal example. I mean, my daughter, my son-in-law is from Moroccan ancestry. And so before they got married, my daughter there was a whole henna party where they henna the hands and the feet, and which is quite interesting because I didn't associate that with Moroccan culture. I always associated that with, you know, maybe Indian culture. The henna,
so
but it's a very real thing.
It is a very real thing, and also quite widely adopted, the so-called chinna that they call in Hebrew.
Yes, that's right,
the chinna.
That's right, there's a chinna.
Yeah, it's very, very widely adopted, not only exclusively for the Moroccan community, but of course, for those people who do come from Moroccan heritage, it's one of those really important things just to continue in the traditions of the way that they think things were done within their family. And so we find these blended families like the in the case of your daughter, that, you know, one spouse has certain traditions from which they come in, which they like to uphold. Another spouse has other traditions which they like to uphold. It is usually common practice for the wife to adopt the traditions and the customs of the husband. That is the generally accepted practice. But having said that, of course, there's nothing stopping the wife from continuing the traditions of her family, whether it be not eating kitniot on Pesach or eating kitniot on Pesach, you know, the classic argument that goes between the various communities. So, yeah, there are many, many examples of things that have been quite widely adopted and which are nice practice, which are fun.
Anthony, let's talk about lockdown. What are the latest restrictions?
And
how do Israelis feel? How do you feel about going into a third lockdown? Personally, how do you feel?
I think I'm a little kind of indifferent about the lockdown, I suppose. For me, fortunately, my life is not substantially affected. I don't have children who need to be entertained in case the activities that they normally get up to are not available. I generally, thankfully, have most of the things that I need. I'm able to keep working, whether it be at home or in the office. I'm in a situation where I am able to attend the office, even though there are restrictions about people attending the office. So for me personally, I'm in a very, very fortunate position that it doesn't have a substantial impact on my life. But that might not be the general rule, because what we found is that in the lockdown, first of all, shops and malls have been required to close down. Any customer-facing, public-facing business is required to close down. Those businesses that are not public-facing are required to slim down their workforce to 50% of the usual, unless they are considered to be essential businesses, essential workers, of which there are numerous. It's not only the things that you think about, but it also includes financial institutions to keep the financial businesses economy running. So it's not necessarily only medical and emergency food supplies and things like that that are considered to be essential. This definition of essential is quite broad. And the one major difference for this lockdown, as opposed to the previous lockdowns that we've experienced, is that the schooling system is continuing as usual, no change. There was initially a government decision that was made that would allow grades 1 to 4 to continue to go to school as usual, and grades 11 and 12 to continue to go to school as usual, and that from grades 5 to grades 9 to grade 9, they would be doing distance learning and not going to school. That decision was overturned by the Knesset Education Committee, who decided that even grades 5 to 9 should attend school. So as of today, in spite of the lockdown, school is business as usual. And I think that that's the major difference that we see during this lockdown as opposed to previous lockdowns. The other major difference is, of course, the massive vaccination program that continues to go on across Israel. Lots and lots of controversial statements, lots and lots of good things coming out from the vaccination program. Currently, the focus continues to be on the over 60s and the medical health professionals. They are in the front line for getting vaccinated. We have already vaccinated something like 300,000 people. The IDF has announced that they will be vaccinating 6,000 of their own officers and soldiers during the course of the coming week, again, focusing on those who are medical professionals, those who are in high-risk groups. Lots of controversial matters. The government decided that medical health organizations should open 24/7 to be vaccinating people. So vaccinations were being distributed on Shabbat, for example, which caused the religious parties to rise up to say that this is not okay, that we shouldn't be violating Shabbat to give out vaccinations. I'd be
What does it violate? What melucha does it violate?
I guess people have to work. On Shabbat, the medical staff who are on duty to give out the vaccinations, who otherwise
But if you're saving a life, that takes.
So So that's the controversial matter. Is this pikuach nefesh in the classic sense that you are saving a life? Is a vaccination considered to be an immediate saving of life? In other words, I suppose the argument is, if that vaccination was given on Sunday as opposed to on Shabbat, would the life not in any event be saved. I think that that was the major argument, and certainly there was some outcry. The problem is, of course, that we just don't have the ability to give out as many vaccinations in the time that the Prime Minister would like to. He said he would like to have the whole country vaccinated by the end of February. That's his kind of current mantra, that he's trying to roll out vaccinations, 100,000 vaccinations a day. I don't think that it's realistically possible. I think we have a limit as to, first of all, how many vaccines we actually have. But at the moment, there's more than enough to go around. I think it's just a case of not having enough places and enough people to actually dish out the vaccines and to get them rolled out. Certain new provisions have been made as to how to distribute the vaccinations. Israel is apparently the first country in the world to be able to unpack and redistribute the vaccinations, to repackage the vaccines. There are people working in these refrigerators, -2 degrees, to unpack the packs of vaccines and to repackage them to allow them to be distributed to smaller centers so that all corners of Israel can be vaccinated. We've also got apparently the IDF has been dishing out, allocating people to help with the vaccination program. Some people have said that it's very difficult for the high-risk categories to be vaccinated. Some people in the over 60 category, all of whom are entitled to be vaccinated immediately, have said that they're struggling to get appointments. In other places, we hear of just the general public walking in and being vaccinated without even the need to book an appointment beforehand. We understand that hospitals, which have up until now only been vaccinating their own medical staff, are now going to open the doors for the general public to come in to be vaccinated. So there are different rules that seem to be applying in different parts of the country. Overall, it seems that the ultra-Orthodox community have received positive word from their leaders about going in and being vaccinated in order to help that community as well. So the current lockdown is as much of a focus on getting vaccinated as it is about trying to maintain social distancing. People are not allowed at the moment to move more than 1 kilometer from their home unless they are on business, which is allowed under the new laws. People who are wishing to exercise on their own are allowed to move more than 1 kilometer from their home as part of the exercise program, as long as they do it alone. The public transport system has been slimmed down to 50% of its usual capacity as part of the lockdown program. We are told that the current lockdown is in place for 2 weeks, but we've also been warned that it is very likely to extend to at least 4 weeks. There are people who think that this is really a lockdown against celebrating the new year, which comes up later this year. We know that within the Russian community in particular, it's very traditional to celebrate Novi God Thursday night. That will be. So I think the government are trying somehow to prevent people from congregating, getting together to celebrate the upcoming new year.
Yeah. Anthony, that is unfortunately where we have to leave it today, but it's lovely to have you back. And I think you should go and get some Doug Morokai just to, some rockin' fish just to celebrate with the country of Morocco.
The new relations with Morocco.
Yeah, the new relations.
There's more than just Doug Morokai. I have to tell you that there is a whole enormous board of treats that one could eat in order to celebrate the new relations with Morocco. We'll talk about that a little bit more later this week. In the meantime, I hope that you'll have a good day.
Thank you, Anthony. Thank you so much, and to you too. That's Anthony Reich. He's our Israel correspondent. You can go see what else he has to say. He's got a blog. It's called Comments from the Edge. Just go Google it, and you can get in touch with him that way. Coming up, we've got the 8 o'clock song. We've had our 7 o'clock song, which actually nobody commented on, which I don't know whether to take that as a good thing or a bad thing. I know that when you don't like the music, you're very vocal about it. But is the opposite true as well? That when you do like a song, then you don't say anything. Let me know. It was Seasons of Love from Rent. Maybe it was just too early in the morning. I don't know.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.